WMAQ, Chicago.
Love, security, home.
This is Ben Grauer, friends, urging you to think upon those three words.
Love, security, home.
Think upon them well. Everything civilization has ever been in the past, everything it can ever hope for in the future, is based upon those three little words.
Love, security, home.
Now, let's show you what's happening to them.
Jobless veteran and family spend week in old auto.
Socialite sues for divorce and custody of daughters. War widows make child care appeal.
Father deserts five children.
Teenage boys held in street slaying.
Love, security, home.
Living, 1948. Brought to you each week at this time by NBC and its affiliates. In anticipation of interdenominationally sponsored National Family Week, which starts May 2nd, holds up its radio mirror today to reflect what is happening to the greatest institution in the nation, the American home, in a drama document entitled
Home, Broken Home.
This year, more than a million American homes will be shattered on the rocks of living 1948.
The purpose of this program is to tell you how, why, and what you can do about it.
What is it, Tommy? What's the matter?
Oh, Daddy, I want my mommy.
Oh, come on now, Tommy. But you told me you were going to be a big, brave man.
But I want my mommy.
It's like Daddy told you, son. He'd like mommy, too. But mommy's gone to heaven. She wouldn't be happy if she thought you were crying for her all the time. Now, would she?
I know.
Say, how'd you like to sleep with Daddy tonight, huh? Tommy and Daddy together?
Okay.
All right. Up we go. Hey. Now, you just pretend I'm not only Daddy, but Mommy, too, huh? See if everything isn't all right.
Death is the most irrevocable of all family catastrophes. As of last February, 8.5 million of our people were widowed. With death often bringing to child, husband or wife, profound shock, personal and economic insecurity. Other than teaching our children the facts of death as well as life beforehand, other than helping to restore solidity to the family afterwards, there's little we can do to preserve ourselves against it. For death is inevitable and will come to all homes. But what are the other causes of broken homes that yearly shatter human relationships, deprive children and adults both of a normal family life? Causes that are not inevitable. Let us now turn the mirror of living 1948 upon those.
All you think about is drinking.
Ah, shut up.
Well, if you saw the bills we had to pay every month, maybe you'd appreciate the fact that
Stop.
And with another baby coming.
Yeah, I know. Another baby coming. Got more than we can use now.
Well, if you'd only give me some help,
help.
I wouldn't...
Money, that's all I ever hear from you. I'm fed up.
But all I'm...
Quiet! Now, look here, you. I'm not taking any more from you, understand?
But, John, all I'm asking...
All
you
I come home to
is...
every day is babies bawling, yakety-yak-yak-yak-yak.
But I'm
I've had enough.
To
I'm
get
through,
out.
You hear? I'm not taking any more.
What do you mean?
I'm getting out.
John, you don't mean that you're...
Stew in your own juice for a while, or go find some other stuff.
Sometimes they pack, sometimes they don't. There's usually a door slam, and the wife in tears calling after her husband.
John! Oh, John!
Then it becomes a statistic.
Approximately 50,000 homes are broken each year by desertion, usually by the husband.
And so we give you the home breaker known as desertion, sometimes called...
The poor man's divorce.
Like to know why?
1. Divorce proceedings cost money. Desertion is a cheaper escape. 2. Sometimes it's the only escape. South Carolina, for instance, will not grant a divorce on any grounds. Finally, religious scruples may keep a husband or wife from legal action.
The reasons why people desert are almost as varied as the people. One of the chief reasons is...
money. We're already over our heads in debt now. And here comes another kid.
But money is seldom the entire story. Often, the deserter is emotionally immature, unable to face a crisis.
If I get away, I won't have to worry about all those things. I've got a right to live my life.
Then, too, desertion may be simply the culmination of a long series of family arguments that are the expression of some deeper dissatisfaction with the marriage relationship. Whatever the cause, the costs are high.
Wife!
I don't know whether to try and reorganize everything or not. He might come back.
Children!
I guess he didn't like us kids, did he, Ma?
Public!
Because most times it's the husband that deserts. Many of the families have to be supported by public funds. But a far higher cost than that is this fact.
Almost a quarter of all juvenile delinquents come from homes which one or both parents have deserted.
Which brings us to what can we do about it?
Now, as a lawyer, I'm glad to tell you that you can take legal action against your husband.
You mean jail him? Order him to support his family?
Hmm, that's right.
Oh, but that doesn't restore our family to a very sound basis.
Listen, I'm a lawyer, not a philosopher.
No, my friends, this is a problem that defies permanent solution on a legal basis. But by making available more marriage counseling services with trained workers to help families work out a solution to the basic causes underlying family tensions, facts prove we can succeed where the law often cannot in cutting the toll of desertion. Now we come to another cause of broken homes, to what social workers call...
involuntary separations.
Listen.
Well, Doc?
I'm sorry to have to tell you your wife is a very sick woman, Mr. Ward.
But what?
A very, well, an advanced case.
Oh, but... oh, we never even suspected.
I know.
Well, is there... can she be cured?
I think so. A good chance, in fact. But she'll have to go to a sanitarium where she'll get the kind of rest and care she needs.
Well, how long will she need to be away, Doctor?
6 months? A year? 2 years?
Well, but what about the children?
In hundreds upon hundreds of actual cases, the scene takes this kind of turn.
Is there... can she be cured?
Can't say about that type of mental case. Possibly. But you have to face the fact. Possibly not. In either instance, you must commit your wife to a mental institution.
But what about the children?
Mark down illness, then, mental or otherwise, as a bona fide splitter of the family circle. And add to it this.
The defendant will now stand at the bar to be sentenced.
Frank Doran, you have been found guilty by a jury of your peers. You have once before failed to heed the warning of this court. Therefore, I hereby sentence you to from 5 to 10 years of hard labor.
$300,000 marriages have been disrupted in 1 year alone because one or the other partner was admitted to a mental hospital or penal institution. But we're not through yet with these involuntary separations. Add this.
It's just the kind of opportunity we've been wanting all along, honey. The job we've been praying for.
Oh, Dick, how wonderful.
More dough and everything. Of course, I hate to leave you and Galesburg, but as soon as I'm sure everything's okay after the trial period's up and all, I'll send for you.
Oh, Dick, it's just wonderful, that's all.
Not always, of course, but sometimes, and gradually upon the weeks becoming months, husband and wife, subjected to new influences, drift apart, perhaps unintentionally at first, and family ties, thus weakened, break. Often the cause of prolonged separation is out of the control of either party. Witness, for example...
What can I do for you, young man?
Do you have a house or renter?
Are you kidding?
Yeah?
Say, do you have an apartment for rent?
Listen, mister. We ain't had an apartment to rent for 6 years.
What is it?
Do you have any rooms for rent?
Any children?
One.
No rooms.
And so the national problem of housing becomes the personal problem of a husband named Dick and a wife named Mary, and the genesis of a broken home.
Are we ready to total?
Oh, it's our friend the authority again. Alas, yes.
In our last statistical year on this subject... The total number affected by involuntary separations, that is, for reasons other than death, divorce, or desertion, 1,050,000 families.
What can we do about it? Ask yourself what you as a nation and as an individual can do about illness and mental health, and do that. Ask yourself what you as a nation and as an individual can do about crime, about housing, and do that. But even more, far more, is necessary. And before we are through today, we shall try to point the road. And now, my friends, for the biggest homebreaker of all.
Divorce. Today, divorce is breaking up homes 3 times as fast as it did 50 years ago. Though our divorce rate is beginning to decline, in 1946, there was 1 divorce for every 3 marriages, an all-time high.
The legal grounds for divorce are as variable as the states and envelop a multitude of sins. One judge recently, upon asking a husband seeking a divorce...
What makes you think your wife doesn't love you?
Heard this reason.
Your Honor, I know you won't believe this, but I swear on the Bible it's true. I was putting a new bulb in the light over the door leading to the cellar, you see, when the ladder tipped and I fell all the way down the stairs. Well, while I lay there on the floor, Your Honor, wondering if I was still alive... My wife rushes to the door, looks down, sees me stretched out, and says...
As long as you're down there, Wilbur, you might just as well look at the furnace.
We plan for the future of this series a number of programs on marriage and divorce, for which this, in a sense of the word, can almost be considered an introduction. To them, we will reserve the detailed examination of the causes of divorce. Our concern today is to discover the effects of divorce upon the home. Marriage, more people have observed than is healthy, is a merry-go-round. Well, without pausing to dispute that point, let's climb aboard and see what we can see when this merry-go-round, checked by divorce, comes to a stop.
It was a mistake from the start. I've got to keep telling myself that. It was a mistake from the start. But now what am I going to do? I've got to find work, but I never prepared myself for any job where I can't even type. And Junior. What about him? Now I've got to try to be his father, too. Why did it have to happen? Why did it have to happen?
guess I'm all washed up. Socially, I'm just a fifth wheel. An extra woman. A bother to any hostess. All those friendships we made, shared together. Might as well forget about them and start all over. Funny about the men. If I was a widow now, there'd be something hallowed about me. Protected in their eyes. But a divorced woman? That's something else again. She's open prey. A gay divorcee. That's all I am. A gay divorcee.
I've been a failure. A plain, awful failure as a father, a husband, maybe even as a man. I don't mind so much about myself. It's the kids. Am I up to bringing them up? That's what I don't know. If I failed in the marriage, what about this now? Oh, if there only weren't any kids. What am I saying? What made me say that?
Months with her and do what she says, then 6 months with him and do what he says. I just don't like it, that's all. I hate them both. I hate what they tell me and tell me to tell the other one. Why can't I be like the other kids? Why? Why?
If your father isn't dead, why doesn't he live with you?
I wish everybody'd quit asking me that.
If your father isn't dead, why doesn't he live with you?
I wish I knew myself.
If your father isn't dead, why doesn't he live with you?
Maybe he didn't want me so there.
George Thorman, author of the Public Affairs Committee booklet on broken homes, put his finger on what he felt was the most basic divorce cause of all. He said,
The rapid increase in divorce is reflecting the difficulty we are having in making marriage suit modern needs and fit in with our changing world. It is part of the price we must pay for a new set of values in marriage. It is a symptom that marriage must take full account of the social and the economic emancipation of women, the importance of freedom and individual happiness.
How do you, sitting in your own living room listening today, feel about that?
Perhaps I can shed some light here, Mr. Grauer.
Oh, Dr. George Gallup, director of the Gallup poll, the man with his fingers on the pulse of the nation.
I don't know about that, Mr. Grauer. But I can give you some opinions that stem directly from the people.
On what, for instance?
How about on the business of making marriage work in this modern age?
Oh, that's fine.
You recall, in the broadcast on women, we gave some direct reports on the false husbands find with their wives.
Do I? See, if I recall correctly, they objected to their wives nagging, spending too much, running the house as a sideline, general bossiness.
As you know, divorces have been obtained on less grounds. Now let's show you what some 30 million women think is wrong with their husbands.
Which faults, I take it, if corrected, would lead to less desertion and divorce?
Right. Biggest fault.
He's always down the corner drinking with those loafers.
Drinking, eh?
Check. About 2 out of 3 of all the men we pulled from coast to coast tell us they drink.
What else?
Next biggest complaint of wives.
They just get careless and thoughtless. As soon as they get a ring on your finger, they take you for granted.
That, I presume, is revealed by hubby's failure to bring home a bouquet of flowers or a box of candy once in a while.
Possibly. Third biggest fault.
When they're healthy, they want to be kings. When they're sick, they want to be babies. I've never seen anything like it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fourth?
They want to be boss. They don't think anybody knows anything but themselves. They don't respect a woman's opinions.
I'd say that last one ties in pretty closely with Thorman's idea that we need a new set of values in marriage.
Particularly the part about taking into account the social and economic emancipation of women. And freedom.
What else have you got?
You're right about the housing situation being a problem for married couples. Thousands, when asked...
What is the most important problem you and your family face today?
Replied,
getting a decent place to live.
A good many others said,
my health. I just don't feel up to things like I used to.
Keeping my wife happy.
My chief problem is getting rid of my mother-in-law.
Now, let's see. Every one of those points, then, is high on the list of causes of divorce. Huh?
Yes, but I can't help wondering if this whole problem of broken homes, whether caused by divorce or other reasons, hasn't much of its basis in the very unsettled international situation of our times.
Would you explain that a bit, Dr. Gallo?
In poll after poll, it seems to us that the answers of a great many people show that they feel the lack of peace and stability in the world. Don't you think this very feeling might be a significant factor in the disruption of the home? The tensions, which are a product of living, 1948, call for a very mature, stable human being to make marriage or any other human relationship work.
Well, there, Dr. Gallup, I think you've really hit pay dirt. There is where our facts lead us. Ask what any of us can do about broken homes, and the answers come back.
Marriage counseling. We need to set up more premarital clinics to teach those considering marriage the true meaning of marriage. To help them see each other a little less in the light of romantic passion. And more clinics where couples in trouble can come to discuss their problems.
We need to start earlier than that. In the schools, with education for marriage. Facts about sex.
We need to tighten our marriage and divorce laws. Exercise more care in custody battles. Establish clinics to help children emotionally disturbed by broken homes.
Yes, and better health welfare services, and greater state participation in utilizing federal Social Security benefits for widows and orphans, and a stronger determination on the part of each and every one of us to sustain the integrity of our own home. But helpful as all these can be, there's no getting around the fact that the family is affected by the social conditions that surround it. That whether we have more broken homes or less depends in a large part upon the kind of world in which we live. A world, remember, made up of men and women. Thus, our basic problem becomes to strive through our institutions, political, economic, legal, moral, and religious, and through each one of us individually, to bring about the peace and stability that is the only true foundation of a normal, satisfying family life.
Love, security, home.
Think upon those three words, my friends.
Love, security, home.
Think upon them well. Everything civilization has ever been, everything it can ever hope for, is based upon those three little words.
Love, security, home.
Living, 1948, is prepared and presented for the University of the Air by an NBC public affairs staff under the supervision of Wade Arnold, with scripts written by Lou Hazem, technical advice by Jane Tiffany Wagner, music conducted by Milton Katims. Your narrator was Ben Grauer. The American Institute of Public Opinion presented in person Dr. George Gallup, whose polls you read in your favorite newspaper. The program was directed by James Harvey. We invite you to keep abreast of Living 1948 by joining us next week, when we'll present another drama document entitled
The National Jukebox.
Robert Warren speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. Living, 1948. Living, 1948. Brought to you each week at this time by NBC and its affiliates In order to mirror more effectively the choice of leadership which faces us, Americans, in this election year, has made free time available for a limited series of programs to the declared candidates for the presidential nomination. Today, Senator Robert A. Taft of Ohio, candidate for the Republican nomination. And here is the regular narrator for Living, 1948, Ben Grauer.
Thanks, Bob Warren. Before we hear from Senator Taft, suppose you and I give our listeners a brief who's who account. Robert Alfonso Taft, son and grandson of statesmen. Born Cincinnati, Ohio, September 8, 1889. Present age 58.
Son of William Howard Taft, Chief Justice of the...